No, I think that's fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. A turning point, part two. I was going to ask you, can anybody remember what I spoke about last week? After Gary read out the sermon, the scripture, I spoke about the Damascus Road experience for Saul, where a blinding light humbled Saul, blinded him for 3 days, and then the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom you persecute." And he said, "Now go and you'll be told what to do." And I spoke last week about suddenly this blinding light came, and suddenly Saul was forever changed. And suddenly, I think this is a year for suddenly. As I've been pondering, meditating on these scriptures for the past several weeks, suddenly, out of all this message, this is why I want to go back to the start. Suddenly, the Lord can enter our experience and things can change. Maybe promises that the Lord gave you years and years ago, promises that maybe you've forgotten about, dreams, suddenly. And as we start 2016, I really like to carry on with that theme, because things can change very quickly. Things can turn around. The transformational experience that Paul had with the living God, he was forever changed. The persecutor became the Apostle Paul. The hunter became the hunted. Things changed suddenly, transformationally, forever. And I would like you to keep that thought. Suddenly, things can change. Salvation is a supernatural experience. The Bible tells us we are born again, and that is God's doing. But we partner with God in that process of that business. Like Ananias, the Lord told Ananias to go lay hands on Saul. And he said, "But Lord, this man is persecuting the church." He said, "He's my chosen vessel, and I will show him how much he will suffer for my kingdom." Like I said last week, you won't find that verse in a book of encouragement. How much he will suffer for my kingdom. And the song that I chose, "Knowing You, Jesus," was taken from Philippians 3. And Paul considered it a privilege to share in the suffering of Christ. The early disciples considered it a privilege to be identified with Jesus Christ in suffering. And I think suffering is part of our Christian experience that we mustn't shy away from, that we must embrace. I'm not saying we suffer like the Apostle Paul did, but there are some Christians in this world of being persecuted and martyred and suffering the same. Paul scattered the Christians 170 miles in Damascus. He was pursuing them. 170 miles. As these Christians, refugees, ran for their lives from fear of persecution, murderous threats he was breathing out for fear, and he was rounding them up with a letter from the chief priest to put them in prison. And suddenly, Jesus entered into the equation, entered into Paul's experience, and this transformational experience. And he chose Ananias to lay hands on him. The scales fell out of his eyes, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time somebody laid hands on you and filled you with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were sick? Did you come and ask the church to pray for you? Or did you go for a prescription? And we're all guilty. The Word of God is true. And I love the verse in Romans that let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. And Paul's whole experience was turned upside down. This man that was being nurtured for the chief priest role, he was taught under Gamaliel. He was like the Oxford Don, the Yale student professor, and he was being lined up for the chief priest job. And in Philippians 3, he said, all of that I consider dung. That's what he said, manure. And even more explicit than that, he considered it rubbish to knowing Jesus. This religious zealot that lived to persecute the people of the way, had an encounter with the living God and was forever changed. And Saul of Tarsus, through this process, became Paul the Apostle. It's not like the Lord changed his name like he did with Peter. I'll get to that a little later on. It was his Roman identity and his calling was to the Gentiles, even though his heart was for the Hebrews, his fellow Jews. Said various times in Scripture, I long to have the ministry that Peter had. That's a very interesting thing. As I was pondering, as we do ministry, do we do our own desires and ask God to bless it? Or do we seek God's face and do His will and good works that He's prepared in advance for us to do? Paul's heart was for the Hebrews, but his mission was a light to the Gentiles. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. What a transformation! What a miracle! The last recorded words of Paul, who are you, Lord? The next recorded words of Paul, that he preached that Jesus was the Son of God. His world view was turned the right way up. The world may say upside down, but it was turned the right way up. The world is upside down. We have it the right way up. And Saul had that revelation from Jesus Christ himself. But the Lord used Ananias in that process. Why does he do that? Because that's how the Lord chose. We're his hands. We're his mouth. We're his feet. We're his wallet. What a privilege. There is no higher calling. There is no higher calling than to share this message of salvation that God has placed in our hearts. And Paul got it. And everything else, he considered it worthless, dumb, to knowing Jesus and his will. All of those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man that raised havoc in Jerusalem and all those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them prisoner to the chief priest?" Astonished at Paul's conversion. People were astonished. Your testimony is a powerful thing. You may not think it is, but people are looking at us, they're watching us to see if this hope that we have is real. And they were astonished at the turnaround, the transformation in Paul. The Bible says we overcome Satan by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Our testimonies may not be as dramatic as Paul's, but they're still very powerful. Verse 21. All those who heard him were astonished and asked. Oh, sorry. Verse 22, I read that. Yet Saul grew more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Baffled them. They're scratching their head. Isn't this man that was putting murderous threats? Wasn't this man holding the coat when Stephen was stoned, when he was murdered? And now he's proving that Jesus is the Christ. Maybe some of them didn't trust him. Maybe some of them thought he was laying a trap. But he proved Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. How did he do that? Well, he did it using Scripture. It is written. It is written. I'm going to share 10 prophecies that perhaps could be some of the same Scripture that Paul shared by proving that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the Messiah. Christos is Greek for Messiah, Savior, the Chosen One. So Jesus is actually Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Messiah. Number one, the Messiah would be born of a virgin. This was recorded in Isaiah 700 BC. 700 years this was written. Number two, a messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah. Isaiah 40, 700 BC. Who prepared the way? John the Baptist. Indeed. The Messiah would speak in parables. Psalm 78 and Isaiah 700 BC. 1,000 years in the Psalms. The Messiah would be declared the Son of God. Psalm 2. 979 BC. 5. The Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. Isaiah 700 BC. The Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. Psalm 22, 979 BC. The Messiah's bones would not be broken. Exodus 1400 BC. And Psalms 1012 BC. The Messiah would be crucified with criminals. Isaiah 700 BC. The Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. Isaiah 700 BC. The Messiah would resurrect from the dead. Psalm 16. Psalm 49. 701 BC. This is how he proved that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the promised Savior. I just spoke 10 prophecies that are being fulfilled. How many prophecies do you think Jesus Christ fulfilled? 20? 50? Anybody? 100? Actually, over 300 prophecies being fulfilled. 300. The stats are off the scales. But you don't hear this in any history channel or on TV. But this is information that Paul knew since he was filled with the Holy Spirit, since the scales fell off his eyes, since he would have known these scriptures word for word. But without the illumination, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit revealing it, and we're without excuse. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we're full of the Holy Spirit, we have more information in this day and age. I have several PC applications, Bible study, over 300 prophecies Jesus Christ fulfilled. That's staggering. And no atheist has any answer. Because truth is truth. Over my experience of preaching, living, and my own personal testimony, I would say 95% of objections to Christianity are actually moral. Mine certainly was. And they're summed up in John 3, 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Light has come in the world, but people love darkness instead of light because our deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. And there it is. You take away the smoke and the mirrors and the objections. It's moral. It means I have to account for the way I live. I'm not a free agent. I am responsible to my Creator. But people refuse because they don't want to be accountable. And I refused for years. But God, who is rich in His mercy, pursued me even when I rejected Him. And He's pursuing us today. And then pursue us forever. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because He loves us with an everlasting love. He's purchased us with His blood. You're precious in His sight. And He's paid the price. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. An amazing grace is available to us. But after many days, the Jews planned to kill Saul. Because of their moral objections, they didn't want to come into the light. They liked the religion. They liked the rules and regulations. They liked to persecute, to have the best places in the market, to walk around with these scrolls in their hats, to be greeted, to be worshipped, to be God. Isn't that it? It's my life. Another pump with a balloon is there. I work hard. I'll do what I want. Nobody tells me. It's So they didn't like the proof. So what did they do? They tried to kill him. But they couldn't kill him, because he did have fruit from his ministry, because it says some of his followers led him down the wall in a basket. So by proving that Jesus was the Christ. See, God built his kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Despite me, he does that. Thank God for that. And despite you, he does that. But he chooses to use me and you, us, this body, his bride, to be his light. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That we co-laborers with Christ. No higher calling, friends. It's wonderful. Verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. And rightly so. They did not believe in he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him. And how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a... So even some of the disciples, the apostles, were suspicious. And rightly so. For he's had a fearsome reputation. But Barnabas stood up for him. Son of encouragement, Barnabas. We may not have a ministry like the Apostle Paul, but we all can be a Barnabas. We all can encourage each other, spur one another on. Lift somebody up. Build somebody up. Choose to build somebody up. And Barnabas, as soon as the opportunity arose, put his neck on the line and spoke up for Saul. I'll switch between Saul and Paul, so it's the same guy. So forgive me if I'm doing that. I hope you're following. I'm sure you are. All of a sudden, Saul changed from being the worst enemy of Christianity to the strongest advocate and most powerful missionary for Christianity. Suddenly, the disciples experienced this change, just as suddenly as Saul's conversion from murderous threats and fear to peace. Paul preached fearlessly and moved around freely, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. Verse 29. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So they didn't like his message either. And they won't like our message. They didn't like when Jesus preached it. They don't like it when Paul preached it. And they won't like it when we preach it. Because it's death to those that are dead. But to us that are alive, it's life. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, Paul said. But if we don't preach it, how will they hear? Both the times Paul preached to the Jews, they rejected him and tried to kill him. His heart, like I said earlier, his mission, his own calling was for the Hebrews, for his brothers. But as it turned out, Peter was God's chosen vessel for that ministry. And Paul was chosen as a light to the Gentiles. And I think there's a very important consideration that it's the Lord that chooses our ministry and not us. I'll leave that one with you. It's His design and not our imagination, and we should know the difference. Verse 31. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Suddenly, from these refugees fleeing for their very lives, this man who were pursuing them, to imprison them, breathing out murderous threats, had an encounter with the living God. His life was totally and forever transformed. And peace resulted in that. Peace. The church was strengthened and encouraged by what? By the Holy Spirit. We can't take the Holy Spirit out of the book of Acts. We can't take the Holy Spirit out of Paul, because he was Saul. This is the difference that God, the Holy Spirit, makes. Living and being in us. And the last verse, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. I looked up fear in the Greek. And do you know what? It means fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think we have perhaps watered down the gospel for fear of being politically incorrect. It was never politically correct, and it certainly isn't today, and I will never make an excuse for it. Let the word of God be true, and every man a liar. But suddenly, I want to come back to that suddenly, because I do really believe it's a word for ICS this season. And I don't say that lightly. I really don't. I think this will be a good year. 2015 was a great year, a hard year for many. Many laughters, many tears. Conclusion of the matter. Everything can change suddenly. And suddenly it can change. And I think this year will be a year of change. Certainly is for Arnau and Cornet, Philip, Daniel. I remember praying with Arnau when he was single and he was lonely. I met with him on a weekly basis and we prayed for a long time. And I know what it's like to be single and lonely. And suddenly, never going to be the same. Single people, hold on. God has a plan and a purpose and a person just for you. He's preparing their hearts right now. They're someplace and they're praying for you. And in the fullness of time, God will bring you together in the fullness of time. I like to say I got married in our 30s, didn't we, Maya? She hates it when I say that. I'm going to let you into a secret. I'm a little older than my wife. I was 5 days off being 40, and my wife had just turned 30. And she was going to wait while I was 40 so there'd be a difference. And I remember saying to the Lord when I was single, if I don't get married by the time I'm 40, forget it. Not a good idea to make a deal with God. Because the problem with God is God. But he thinks he's God. 5 days before I was 40. Can you imagine? What a numpty I am. But it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. Have we ever considered the prophecies of the Christ, of Jesus? Can we prove, like Paul, that Jesus is the Christ? We should be armed with certainly some of them, 300 prophecies, to give a right answer at the right time. People need facts before they can make a decision. And we have all the facts, friends. Can we prove that Jesus was the Christ? What is our calling? Have we asked Jesus? Let us tell the whosoever of our salvation and the mercy of God. There isn't a higher calling. It's not our responsibility whether people accept it or reject it. It's our responsibility to share it. It's God's responsibility to save them. You know, when somebody doesn't listen, I have a policy. Next. Really? I don't have to defend the Word of God. It can defend itself. But it's a privilege to share the power and the relationship that I have with the living God. Let us pray. Dear Father God, I thank you for the suddenly. I thank you, Lord, suddenly everything can change. Lord, many of us have promises that we've written off, that we've forgotten about. Lord, let there be a suddenly in our experience this year. Come shine your light in our darkness, Lord. Let us fan that flame that we may shine wherever you put us, oh God. And help us meditate upon your word day and night so we can give the right answer at the right time. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We can't do it, Lord, without you. We don't even want to try. But just like Paul was forever changed, and the scales fell off his eyes, and he was filled with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, oh God. Fill us this day. We are dry. We are thirsty. We are hungry, oh God. And then prayers that we don't pray out. Then prayers in our heart, O Lord. Illuminate them with your light. Let this be a year of suddenly in our experience. I ask this for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.